Happy Father's Day.
The 18th chapter, Genesis chapter 18, if you would turn there with me. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 18. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they will keep the way of the Lord and do righteousness and justice, and the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Caught my attention in this scripture is God said, I know him. The reason I picked this man, the reason that I'm starting a new covenant that would ultimately bring us the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and I'm entering into that covenant that starts with this man, Abraham, and the reason that I chose him is because I know him, that he will command his children to walk in the ways of the Lord. He will command them. The father is the dominant figure in the family in Scripture. His role is vital. There's more to being a man than being male. You can be a male and not be a man. You can be married and not be a husband. And you can be a breeder and not be a father. You see, lust gives a condom, but love gives a ring. And there's more to being a man than having a zipper on your pants. And the Bible teaches that the dad and the father is the male dominant figure, the dominant figure of the family, and he is to lead that family in their spiritual life. When you think that 1/3 of the children in our nation are illegitimate, and 1/2 of the children in our nation will be reared without a father, then this scripture becomes even more astonishing. 25 million children today are fatherless on Father's Day. 25 million children in America do not have a father who is engaged in their life. I'm not talking about people who've been through divorce, but they still, I'm talking about those who do not have a father of any sort in their life. 25 million are growing up in homes without a dad. And it's a tragedy. It is one of the greatest afflictions that can happen to a child is to be raised without strong male fatherly influences in that child's life. The only thing worse than having a home without a father is having a father who is not the right role model and leading the children in the wrong direction. When you hear scriptures like the Apostle Paul, when he talked about we have many teachers, but not many fathers. You'll have a lot of people in your life that you'll learn from, but there's no one that can take the place of a father. A man does not provide for his family, the scripture said. The man who does not provide for his family, listen to the words, is worse than an infidel. If you don't provide for your family, if you don't take care of your own family, God's word in the New Testament teaches you're worse than an unbeliever. And your religion is warped because it begins in the home and it begins in the family. The responsibility of a dad cannot be overstated. The leadership to be a dad and a father and a parent to those of you who are single mothers is the highest calling you will ever have on your life. It comes to you with tremendous responsibility to give affirmation and to give spiritual direction to your children. You are the priest of your home. I admired my father when he raised us, five of us children. My sister Jill is in this church and her family, and of course Richie's family, and all of us, we have been impacted by my father, who was a great, great man, and he was a man of prayer. And I think of how that he was a father of influence. What we need is fathers of spiritual influence that influence our children in spiritual ways. God said, I know Abraham. I know that he will teach and lead his children and command them to go in the way that I command them to go. He understands his place of authority in the home. He's the head of the house. He's a father of influence. And that's the kind of man that I'm looking for. You see, when you as a father have prayer with your family, it's like putting a roof on your house. Can you imagine not having a roof on your house? Having all of the nice furniture and all the nice things, but no roof on the house. Spiritually speaking, when there's no prayer, and particularly when there's not a man there that's blessing, or at least a leading parent that is speaking blessing and prayers over that family is exposed to spiritual powers. They have easy access. But when you pray as a family, taking 3 to 5 minutes to open the Bible and read it and then pray together, pray, you are putting a roof spiritually on your house that is a covering over your children, a covering over your marriage, a covering over your family. It cannot be overstated how powerful that is. When a man says, "We're going to pray, family," he's putting a spiritual roof and covering over that house that preserves and blesses that house. The favor of God comes on those children when the man prays. It brings the blessings and the benefits of God upon that home. When together you stop everything and you take a few minutes and you acknowledge God. We've got to get back to that. We've got to put a roof of protection, spiritual protection of prayer over our homes from the onslaught of evil spirits. We can break the curses. In Genesis chapter 27, it talks about how that Jacob blessed his son Esau. And it gives us 3 secrets into how you are to bless your children and bless your family if you're the leader of your family. It said, first of all, that when his son came in and he said, "Father, bless me. I want you to put a blessing on me." That the father first said to him, "Come, son." And the scripture said, he touched him. He reached out and he touched him. The first blessing that you can put on your children is meaningful touch. There's something about a father who will touch his children, who will hug his children, who will kiss his children, who will be give meaningful touch and reach out. Sometimes as men, as our children get older, we become, especially if you have daughters, we almost feel awkward. But one of the greatest blessings, if you want to build self-esteem, if you want to build, you know, strong, confident kids that carry themselves well, then you touch your children. Don't be this kind of dad that, "Well, my dad never touched me and we weren't a huggy, kissy family." Well, break that curse, man. Life is too short to go around like a dipstick, always, you know, just never touching your kids. Reach out and hug. And even the boys, they act like they don't want it, but grab them anyhow. They love it. It does something inside of them when you touch them. Come on, you hear me out there? Reach out and touch your family. You can reach over right now and shake hands with someone. And if you do it and you say, "How are you doing? Good to see you." Then immediately their eyes begin to dilate the moment somebody touches you. Immediately blood pressure goes down. It's the power of a touch. You invigorate people when you touch them. It's been proven medically that in nursing homes that if they touch the people, if the attendants touch the people, that it releases health and stronger emotional health in their lives to be touched. That's why they'll give them cats or give them dogs sometimes and bring them in and let them touch them, because it speaks and it has meaning when we touch. Meaningful touch bonds you to people. And I just want you to understand that one way that you put a blessing of God's favor, is touching your loved ones. Reach out, hug them, be more touchy, be more feely, be more loving, because one day you may not have each other and you need to enjoy each other while you have each other. So the blessing, Dad, begins with hugs and kisses. And the Bible said that not only did he touch him, but it said he kissed his son. Now, his son was a younger man in his 20s, but he kissed him and he hugged him and he touched him. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's needed in our society more than ever. Then secondly, he began to speak a verbal blessing over his child. He began to bless him, because the word blessing means, listen to this, to attach high value to a person. When we speak about blessing your family, it means to attach high value and speak future-oriented words and blessings over their life. You speak and bless them for the future. You talk about a good talent or a gift or something about them, and man, you're amazing, and you're going to do something great, and I believe in you, and I tell you, there's nothing you can't do. And you know, one day I wouldn't be surprised if you do this and you do that, and you're so talented and you're so gifted. What are you doing? You're speaking a future-oriented blessing, and it begins to position those young, impressionable kids to move into that direction. Continually affirm the future of your children and point out the parts that are good about them, and you are imparting a blessing. I heard about a boy who was injured from his mother's birth canal and never walked. And he was in high school and got very depressed and even tried to kill himself because of it. But there were some men in a local church who got together, and they began, two men in particular, and they began to show interest to this young kid that was confined to a wheelchair. And they began to speak blessings like I'm talking about. They said, "You have such a nice voice." There was something about his voice that was different and deep and rich. And they began to tell him, "What a great voice you have. What a great voice you have. You have a beautiful voice." And he went on to be a talk show host. Those men may not even realize what they were doing, but they were affirming in him. They were affirming in him and speaking a blessing that was future-oriented in that kid's life. And when you begin to speak those future-oriented blessings, and they're words that you speak that are powerful. You know, dads, I'm just talking out of my heart today. One of the things that we need to be careful about is to be positive. James Dobson said, for every time you criticize your child, you should give seven positive blessings back for every time you attack them and criticize them and cut them down. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a challenge, isn't it? That we feel like sometimes we got to keep them straight. But when's the last time you spoke powerful, positive words about your children? Be positive. Everybody say, be positive. If you're going to raise children, speak words of courage and words that are positive, and you're incredible and you're great, not you're stupid, you're no good, you're just like your dad, you're just like this, you're just like that. You are marked by God. These are the words you need to say. I wrote some things down. You've got a gift in your life. God has a great plan for your life. Affirm and encourage and speak life into those children because they value the approval of their dad. Things like, you're smarter than I'll ever be. You're amazing. There's no telling. Have I told you that I think that you're great? And you know, that there's a value in that. There's a blessing in that. Be positive with your words. When we understand that, you know, it's fuel to our children's self-esteem. It's fuel in their engine. When we begin to speak positive words, we are to help them with their relationship with God, and we are to build their self-esteem. That's what blessing them does. And there's nothing better than to speak positive words. Don't just be always correcting the wrong. Be positive. I'm not going to quit because I don't feel like you got it. Turn to somebody and say, you need to talk more positive around your house and around your children. Be positive. The second thing I thought about is you have to be, as a dad and as a parent, you have to be pliable. You have to kind of got to go with the flow some. You can't be so rigid and so mean and so hard-nosed. If you don't want, the Bible talks about don't enrage your children and don't intrigue them to wrath. You see, when you start seeing an independent spirit in your children, that means something. An independent spirit in your child that starts manifesting around 12, 13, 14, 15, you start seeing it. Well, that's God's way of getting that child out of your house. So it's not all bad when they get an attitude and when they start acting independent and when they act like they don't want to listen to you. It's all part of man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and the same for the girls. And part of that is finding a little independence And you gotta give them a little room to get out of the nest as they go through puberty and they go through all of that stuff. You just learn that, you know, they think they're brilliant. They think you're so stupid and they don't know. They think you don't have any clue and you know everything they're dealing with. But sometimes you just have to give them a little space. Give some allowances. Don't be rigid about everything. You know, find what heel is worth fighting over and don't make a big deal out of things that aren't that big just because you want to dominate. And that's not how you do it. You have to be pliable. You know, give some latitude in hairstyles. You know, no, we want all of our kids to... Why can't you be like your sister? Why can't you be just like so-and-so? Why can't you be like this? I can't stand it when people say, why can't you be like other pastors? Because I don't want to. Why can't you? And you know, our kids don't want to be the same. They don't want to. That's their little independence. If they want to get a little Justin Bieber whatever or whatever, a little haircut or whatever, a little thing, just calm down. You know, their clothes, they'll get a little crazy with their clothes. You know, your deal is to keep moral boundaries and spiritual boundaries, but give them some latitude. Give them some independence. Their music and their interests will be different. They don't want to be copies of you, Mama Duck, Baby Duck, and all the little quackers walking in on Sunday morning, following behind. That's not what they want. They want to feel different. They want to be different. So give them, I guess what I'm trying to say is lighten up. You ever seen Christian parents that are so mean and ugly and whippy, come on. All you're going to do is drive those kids away. Lighten up just a little bit. Non-essential issues are not things you need to major on. Drake, when he was younger, he's sitting down here on the front row. He wanted to go to a wrestling match. He used to watch wrestling on TV. And so we went to a wrestling match. And we were sitting right on the front row because I called Sting. And I said, the wrestler. And I said, I want you to get me some tickets. So here we are on the front row. And I'm telling you, it was every creature that I've ever seen all around me. I've never seen such a group of people. And we could hear them. We were so close. We could hear the wrestler saying, I'm about to pick you up and throw you now. Get ready. It was unbelievable. But he just had the biggest time and I had the biggest time. And, you know, go to their ball games and go to their recitals. Sometimes we'd rather go meet with a proctologist than go to a piano recital. But go. I can remember the girls, they all wanted to be little ballerinas. And I remember that stage where we took them over to Bernal and there was a woman over there that taught ballerina stuff. And they would all get their little outfits on. They're like little doorsteps. And I thought, how much, you know, and I'd go to those recitals and sit there and you wait on your child and you wait on your child and you wait on your child. And finally your child comes out and basically all they did was did this number on their tiptoes. And I paid all that money and they would run across there and they would always look to see if daddy was looking and they'd smile and their front teeth would be missing and they would wave while they were flapping on their, and that's what they did it for. Go to the ball games, even if the kid's not first string, they'll see you in the stands while they're sitting on the bench. It matters. Be playful. Be playful. David said, when he took the Ark of the Covenant back to the temple, the Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 10, verse 20, that he then went back home and blessed his house. It's one thing to have the presence of God in church, but what would happen if every dad would leave this place today and before the day is over, say, I want to bless this house. God, we need your blessing in this house. What would happen if we had great service today, but then we went home and every dad understood, I'm the priest of this home and I bless you children. God's hand is on your life. God's going to do something, and we, Lord, acknowledge you in this home. It's not good enough to go to church where the presence of God is, but we're supposed to take it back home and bless our house. Joshua said at the age of 110, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care if the things they're teaching in school are contrary to the Word of God. I don't care what kind of parties they're having two houses down. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God, make us Joshua men. God, give us men who are determined to raise their family for God, who say, I am involved in my home. I am involved in my family. Fight for your family time. Fight for time with your kids. Fight for your marriage. There's nothing more important. In 1924, in Paris, in the Olympic Games, there was a man by the name of Bill Havens who was on his way to go compete. He was a shoe-in for the gold medal. There was no doubt there was no one in the world that could compete on the rapids in canoes like this man. And everyone knew before it ever started who would get the gold medal. He found out before he got on the plane that his wife was about to go into labor to give birth to their firstborn child. Even though his wife said, you've got to go because you've worked all of your life to get the gold medal, he shocked the Olympic committee and his wife when he said, I will not be competing. I must be there when my first child is born. His infant son, Frank, was born into the world August the 1st, 1924. And though he always wondered, you know, how he would have done and what it would have been like to stand with the gold medal around his neck, he never regretted the decision he made to be there for the birth of his son. Bill loved that son so much that he poured his life into him and shared every bit of knowledge that he had about his love for the rapids and the canoeing. He taught him how to canoe the rapids, and 24 years passed and the Olympic Games were held in Helsinki, Finland. This time, Frank Havens qualified to compete in the Olympics, the son now. The day after the competition in Finland, Bill received a telegram from his son that read, Dear Dad, thanks for waiting around for me to be born in 1924. I'm coming home with the gold medal that you so much desire. What that father decided was that there were things that he couldn't reach and he couldn't achieve, but if he would pour into his son could even go further and do greater things than he had done. I'm saying to you, let's not neglect our homes. Let's not neglect our marriages. Let's not neglect our children. There is no higher calling on your life than that of a father or that of a mother. And there's no more powerful thing than when a family unites and says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so my prayer today for every dad is that you'll be positive, that you'll be pliable. We need to lighten up a little bit. Love those kids, that you will bless them with meaningful touch, that you will bless them with verbal blessing, that you will have active commitment is the third blessing. That when you find those children have a gift, it's not enough to say good luck, but you then come up under and you help them get training. If it's music, get them a piano teacher. If it's sports, get them some extra help. Do what you can do. It's active commitment, not just good luck. Oh yeah, you do have a talent. But when you find that talent, when you find that calling that's on their life, come up under it with incredible support. And let me help you do this, and let me help you, and I'll get you a lesson, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. That's the way that we bless our families. We speak and be positive and be pliable, lighten up, and be playful. Love and enjoy those children. These are years you'll never get back. Be prayerful. put a ceiling over your spiritual house and a covering over your family.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. For more information on this broadcast or for additional resources, go online at jensenfranklin.org.